episode of Speakers of Heidelin is made possible by our generous patrons. Special thanks to our supreme and master speakers, Omega Cat Comet, Erisu Yamakawa, Alex Franco AV, Wineboat Brood, Aurora Templeton, Psyche, Azuta Starbreeze, Cletus Oreo, Nina Grimstarter, Lily Black, Bob CZ, Mictor Rabentau, Anathos Moonscar, Pamela Isley, Elenreal Maximus, Code Rith Novelist, Mira Miri, Celesto Notrell, Lazy Boy, Luke Osborne, Pandalu, Storm Arrow, Tex, Kylin, Arthur Law, Barry Danderard, Cypup, Spencer Christmas, Noi Fafnir, Celine DeLune, Edwin, Webster Wolf, Severa, Circa Barrakeel, AJ Brainswords, and Casran, Ventos Tia, Ryark Forbear, Leighton the House, Tony, Arcadia Lunashine, Umbral Wind, Framboise Sakuro, Bergie, Fudge, and Cephiel. Support the show and become a patron today at patreon.com/speakersxiv. Thank you.
This is Speakers of Heidelin.
Good evening, Aorcians. Welcome to Speakers of Heidelin, episode 395. I'm Lakeel Bravestone, and I'm joined today, by Georgi Whiston, Mela Vanadar, and Rollo Des. Not visible.
What the hell?
What
Get
the hell?
Out of the cave.
Back in the cave?
Okay, yeah, you're all back in the cave. Hold on, I can...
It's cold out here.
Oh, I'm in... There we're Nutty Putty Cave.
There you are.
Oh, no.
It's episode 395. It's March 30th. 2024, and we are here to guide you through another week of 14 news. There's a lot of weeks. Sorry, a lot of weeks.
There are a lot of weeks. There are a lot of weeks. Some might say 52 of them in a year.
That's a lot of weeks. But there's also a lot of news this week for Final Fantasy 12.
12?
Whoa, what? Oh. I hear Revenant's Wings are coming out on the DS soon? That's crazy.
Shit. Final Fantasy
XIV release.
Today we're going to cover a Games Radar interview with Yoshi P, and we'll review Little Ladies Day and Hatching Tide, and of course we'll be reading your Mog Mail. Stay tuned for the post show. We'll be reading questions from the Syndicate. So that's that. Before we move on to recent events, I should mention that there's a new Secrets of a Realm out now, Worm King's Rest. Last question mark episode of Secrets of a Realm. If you watched it, you'll know it's probably not the last episode of Secrets of a Realm, but it's the last one for 1.0, pretty sure. So go watch that. Also, announcement for... And I never thought I'd see the day where I put Neil Breen in a slide. But for movie night next week, we're watching Fateful Findings. So we're watching Neil Breen. So make sure you catch that for patrons. That's Master and Supreme. See you there.
I've never seen box art or a poster of his movies. Oh my God.
They're so good. They're very good. Fateful Findings. That is Thursday, 4th of April. So make sure you catch that. All right. I will warn you beforehand for our live viewers. Windows updated recently and has, of course, as always, renamed my audio drivers. So there might be some problems with the audio today. Hopefully, if you're watching on YouTube, I've already edited out the bits, but it's time for recent events.
Mm-hmm. Sound of silence.
Okay, we'll start off with recent event number one. The Xbox Final Fantasy XIV sweepstakes. So you can win an Etherite themed Xbox.
That's cool as hell.
Which version?
I think
is
it's X.
X
is the series X.
Right. It's cool. I mean, I love that they just like, you know, fuck it. We'll just put some rings. It's an Aetherite.
I've said it before, but like Xbox special editions are way better than the fucking PS5 ones. Like,
well, has there even been a PS5 like special?
Yeah, they only have the covers.
They had like a Spider-Man one, and there was a 16 one, right? It's just covers. It's not. It's
oh yeah, but that was like JP exclusive, wasn't it? But yeah, that's.
They're not particularly good covers either. Like, you know, there's nothing to play on an Xbox, but it looks cool.
It does, yeah.
I mean, well, it's Final Fantasy 14 now.
True.
I revealed the secret of this Xbox to Mailer, but if you read it, you might discover the secret too.
Oh, no. Okay. I'll read the post. We are pleased to present a commemorative sweepstakes to mark the official release of Final Fantasy 14 on Xbox. The prize includes a custom-designed, Aetherite-themed Xbox Series X, as well as a copy of the Final Fantasy XIV Complete Collector's Edition and a 12-month Xbox Ultimate Game Pass code. The campaign started March 28th, so a couple of days ago from when we did this live, at 10 a.m. GMT, 9 p.m. Australian Eastern Time, to Thursday, the 11th of April, 2024, at 4 p.m. GMT, 5 p.m. BST, or Friday, the 12th of April at 2 a.m. Australian Eastern Time.
Yeah.
Interest. Also, yeah, now I can say this. Tonight, for Europe, we will be switching from daylight savings.
Oh, yeah. It's daylight savings.
It's like... over. It's ogre now, which means for live viewers, we'll be back. Not for Georgie.
He's next week.
For Australia, for some fucking reason. We have to wait another week. Or is it two? I don't even remember. One,
it's a week.
It's one a week.
It's 1 week.
We need to synchronize. I don't know why we're doing this. For people that are watching live, we'll be back to regular time this week. Or if you are Australian, we'll be back to normal time in 2 weeks. In 1 week.
It's been normal for Australia. It's only been off for Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Only off for Australians for one week.
That's true. That's true. Yes. Just a reminder there, if you understood any of what we were saying. Moving on, how to enter the sweepstakes. Log into your Twitter account. If necessary, first create a Twitter account for free at twitter.com.
Mm-hmm.
During the entry period, sponsor or sponsors designee shall post on the 14 Twitter account announcing
that people will be posting on the Xbox on the Final Fantasy 14 account. I don't know why everyone
is it written like this?
Non-committal, so they can just post it on any time there's a sponsor.
Okay, repost retweet the announcement tweet. It's really hard to tweetify this. Reply to the announcement tweet on the 14 Twitter account and include the hashtag FFXIV sweepstakes. Follow the official English Final Fantasy 14 Twitter account, French 14 Twitter account, or the German 14 Twitter account. Together, the Final Fantasy... whatever, from your Twitter account. Follow any of the fucking 14 Twitter accounts, okay?
Mm-hmm. English ones.
Yeah.
Not English. Western ones.
Western ones. One winner. So here's the prize. One winner from eligible North American territories and one winner from eligible European Oceanian territories will be selected through a random drawing to win the below prize package.
Listen, Square Enix, you gotta give it to me.
We can win. Yes, but I have read the secret.
One custom designed Final Fantasy 14 branded Xbox Series X console, but please note that this item is non-functional and for display only.
Was the controller real at least?
I fucking hope so. And then it says, in addition to this fucking shell of an Xbox, you do get one retail Xbox Series X console, but just a normal ass one.
Okay.
To sell that one.
So
it's weird because like they've made other like contest edition ones that like work, and they do have like shit all over. Like they'll build.
Yeah,
like, there's like a Thor's hammer one. For Ragnar, for whatever game.
Mm-hmm.
Why does this one not work
out of the
other
one? What the fuck
ones?
Is the purpose of that? Like, I don't want
it.
Cool.
It's still cool as hell.
Well,
it
would have been cool if it was a real console, because then I'll be like, well, it kind of looks janky like this, because it's actually the console, as you can see. It's a square. It's a box. Well,
yeah, I guess if you think about it, too, if you look at it, I don't think you'd be able to get the CD in there.
No.
Because of the rings and the crystals.
Yeah.
Obviously, doing havoc with the cooling as well.
Yeah, they do have vents on the bottom, I think. That's the intake.
Well, that's the intake at the bottom, I think, yeah.
This is stupid. This is, at that point, it became trash for me. At the moment, I read that.
It's
just an ugly box now. It doesn't look like an Etherite. Give me an Etherite then.
It's cool. It's fine. I'm fine with it because they give you a normal Xbox.
Well, you get a normal Xbox, but...
Yeah, and then you have you can display it. It's cool.
It's quirky. It's just a fake Xbox.
It's not. I mean,
you get a real Xbox.
It's not as good as the Sonic and Knuckles furry controllers, I'll agree, but it's still pretty cool.
That's, I don't know about this one, Chief, but all right. One retail Xbox.
Give it to me. He doesn't want it.
I don't want it. I'm not entering the sweepstakes to get like a paperweight. 12-month Xbox. Well, you do get a normal Xbox.
And then we can give it away on this channel.
One of you guys win it then and give it away.
No, I'm not giving it away.
Well, there you go. So, one retail Xbox Series X console. 12-month... Well, we went through this. Winners will be notified by the 2nd of May 2024 via Twitter direct messages. So...
keep your DMs open. I think Twitter DMs are like fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh god, better make sure because I don't want to miss out on my guaranteed win.
Yeah.
Also,
Yoshi P himself will DM you. He's like, hello.
This is true.
You win the Xbox.
Final Fantasy 14, Yoshi P.
Yeah.
And 16.
No, he wouldn't say that.
No, that's a separate DM.
That's a separate person.
Yeah. You may have been contacted by the producer and director of Final Fantasy 14. Okay. Also, make sure you read the usually very absurd rules for anything relating to Square Enix. So make sure that your country can actually win it in your country, or you have to pay like a lot of money to get it into your country.
I'm pretty sure this is Canada's fault most of the time.
Probably, yeah.
Well, Quebec specifically.
Quebec can't enter these.
No, I think they're just blocked. They don't even want to deal with it. So, okay. Moving on from that kind of disappointing reveal. There's the Square Enix spring sale going on right now, which means you can get 14 for... you can get 60% off Final Fantasy 14. That's all of the editions. No, Xbox specifically is not mentioned here, which is interesting. Retailers are Square Enix Store for Windows, Mac, Mog Station with Windows and Mac, and PlayStation Store, PlayStation 5, and PlayStation 4. So there is no Xbox support for this sale.
You don't start your release with a sale.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But it is interesting. So you can get the Complete Edition, the Complete Collector's Edition, the Endwalker Standard Edition, and the Endwalker Collector's Edition, 60% off until April 10th. So
get on it, lads.
Go crazy,
I
guess.
It's surprising if you wouldn't have it if you're watching this podcast, but maybe you have friends that would be interested in this.
Well, maybe you didn't have the Collector's Edition for Endwalker.
That's
now you
true.
Can.
Or you can, you've got yourself a PlayStation and you want to get your account set up.
Well, that too.
Cheap.
If you want to try it or not.
Free 30 days for every license you get on a different platform.
True.
So.
That's true.
So go do that. That's on the Square Enix store. It's on the Square Enix store. It's on Mog Station and on the PlayStation store. So go wild.
Go Mog. Go Moggin.
Go Moggin.
Go Moggin.
There's also a soundtrack out now. This is for the patch music from 6.1 to 6.5, Growing Light. That's physical only, is it? I think. But it comes.
It'll be on a Blu-ray.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
it'll come out to streaming.
It doesn't
later
specify
on,
streaming. So it comes with a minion, Heidelin Idol minion. We know how we love. Yeah. They tie minions to physical purchases.
My favorite.
Yeah.
I love spending money.
Yeah.
Merchandise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also includes bonus videos of Scream and Flow from the Vegas and London Fan Fest. See if you can see Rollo and I.
Oh, yeah. You might see us. I'm to the left of the stage on the London one. Mm. If you're facing it to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Rollo is in the middle with both fists, like his arms are out, and he's like helicoptering his fists. Right? He's crazy.
Actually, wait, I realized you won't be able to see me in the London one because I was literally behind the camera. I was looking at the guy operating the camera just over his shoulder for no reason.
Yeah, you're in the crew section.
Yeah, yeah, basically. I wanted to walk in so badly because it was just open. I wanted to tempt fate.
God, that would have been so good if we were watching the stream and just Rollo's face just suddenly coming like into frame. That would have been so good.
Wide-eyed.
Yeah, that would have been great. Yeah, so go get a growing light, I guess. God, we're shilling hard today.
We shilled opposite. Yesterday.
That's true.
The unshilled.
Right.
Yes.
Really hard on that collector's edition.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
That looks like a dog turd. I'm sorry. It is. It is a dog. I can't unsee it now. But shout out to the people. We'll talk about the collector's edition in a bit. The Final Fantasy 14. Sorry, yes, Final Fantasy 14 and Final Fantasy 16 crossover event is coming closer. It's we have a date. We already know that.
It'll be out by the time this is on YouTube.
That's true. 2nd of April. We are delighted to announce that Final Fantasy 14 and Final Fantasy 16 crossover event, The Path Infernal, will soon begin. Tuesday, the 2nd of April. It lasts until 8th of May.
Very long time.
Yes. They did also reveal on the website the rewards. There's the gear. Clive gear.
You can have your titties out, just like Clive.
Yeah, you can have your Clive titties out. And there's a Torgal mount and a Torgal puppy minion.
Aww.
So,
and there's also
a card, I think.
There's also a triple triad card, and there are 10 Orchestrian rolls.
Ah,
so
yes.
Many.
That's why you need a lot of MGP, by the way. You need lots of IMAL.
It's 200,000 MGP is not a lot.
It's a lot for new players.
I think it's a total of 200,000.
You keep forgetting that there's new players, but that's, yeah.
We told you weeks ago, months ago now.
We've told you so many times. I know that you're a MGP millionaire, but...
If you do the fashion report for 3 weeks, which this event is longer than 3 weeks, you will have enough to get everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
You're going to have to grind for it, but you're...
you can do it. I was right. 200K for the card, and then...
Oh my God, the card is
400K total is needed.
That is an expensive card.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. That's not that expensive.
Mr. Moneybags here.
Mr. Moneybags over here. 200K?
Card, but it's pretty high for a card.
Pocket change.
Especially for an event card.
Yeah. This is someone, by the way, who frequents the gold. Remember, Georgi frequents the gold. He loves the gold saucer. Let's just say that. So
he's like an old man at the
Pacheco. You have to keep that in mind. I understand. Yes,
you can't be an old man because I enjoy Leap of Faith too much. An old man couldn't handle it with their arthritic fingers.
That's true.
You're right. A Pacheco player could not do that.
Okay. Well, there you go. Looking forward to that. Nice to have something to
do at some point.
I wonder what the story will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. This seems surrounded in mystery. Like the starting NPC is just some man.
Yeah.
It's always a reporter, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like, that's it.
They don't want to spoil it.
Let me look through the event. Does Cloud have his bearer's mark in it still? It doesn't appear in the trailer. I don't know. Oh, yes, he does. No, he still has his bearer's mark in it. Okay.
Oh, so it's early.
So that gives you approximately when it takes place.
Mm, interesting.
Oh, okay.
Not what you're talking about, but sure.
Doesn't matter. Okay. look forward to that. Moving on, we have Live Letter Times. They were announced.
Lovely time.
Yeah, lovely time for some.
On a weekend.
Horrendous times for others. The next Letter from the Producer Live will feature as part of our upcoming 10th anniversary celebration, 14-hour broadcast. Join us for the latest look at what's to come in patch 7.0, along with our segment, A Realm Resplendent with Warriors of Light, in which we showcase some fun Final Fantasy XIV statistics. Woohoo!
Oh, why are you ruining it?
30 million registered accounts. Here's how it happened.
Do that at PAX already?
They did, yeah. Maybe they'll make it even prettier now, more detailed. The start times, now brace yourselves if you're from Europe. The 13th of April at 4... Well, it says GMT here, but that's kind of pointless now, isn't it? 5 a.m. BST. Well, 4 a.m. GMT, I guess, is for Iceland?
This, it will be, yeah.
Yeah. But 5 a.m. BST, that's 6 a.m. Central European time, 7 a.m. Eastern European time, and 2 p.m. Australia time.
What a lovely time.
And I would guess noon for East...
midnight.
Oh, yeah, midnight. The other way.
U.S. Yeah. East and 9 p.m. for Pacific.
Yeah.
So, midnight.
I mean, it's not too bad.
But not too bad.
No.
Better for the West Coasters, but I can endure midnight for a couple hours.
Yeah. It can be, obviously, we're going to cover it.
Worse for Georgie, because, 2 p.m. seems like it'd be a normal time, but Georgie sleeps most of his days and lives most of his nights.
That's true. So, yeah, I guess so. I mean, 6 a.m., is fine. I'll just wake up earlier, like a couple of hours earlier than I normally would.
Well, we'll probably have to end this Friday stream earlier as well.
Oh, right, because we end that at like 2 or 3. Okay, yeah.
Normally, so yeah, we might want to end it a bit earlier than normal.
That's okay, it's 1 week. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, so that's that.
Or we could do a 12-hour stream.
Anyway,
didn't we just do one?
I mean, we didn't we just do one? We haven't done a 12-hour stream in a while, but I just don't think if we did that, I would be crazy by the end of it. Like, I would not function properly.
Oh,
I think.
It was just a yoke, but
yeah. Don't be careful, Georgie. If you suggest things, I might do it. You know, be careful what you suggest.
It's not a problem for me.
No, I have to consider. The podcast is also the same day, so no, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. details for the what they'll talk about is patch 7.0. So more expansion details. And then a Realm Resplendent with Warriors of Light segment, and then miscellaneous updates, which is, of course, all the merch that we can't buy in the West.
Yay!
So, look forward to that. That is 5 a.m. BST, 6 a.m. Central European Time, midnight Eastern. Okay.
We will not be getting the Job Action trailer. I think they've already said that won't be coming until May.
Yes, during the media tour.
It's probably the benchmark.
Graphics update.
We
will be getting live
live footage of the graphics update,
which is important.
Yes,
I'm a bit worried about Realm Resplendent with Warriors of Light segment. That sounds boring.
It does sound
it sounds awesome. What's wrong with you?
It sounds like they're going to do loads of yapping about the past again.
Do you think we'll get the benchmark?
We'll probably get the benchmark, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Possible. Yeah.
But yeah, the stats will be... They've given us strange stats before, like amount of eggs eaten. Like,
yeah,
that's
kind
like
of cool.
That.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know if it's like 7 a.m. kind of fun, you know, to watch.
Too bad, Lukiel.
Yeah.
And it's always got like 2 hours of that. Like, guess how many corp kids everyone's got? That's right, 700,000.
Okay, so moving on then to the Dawn Trail pre-order stuff that happened. Now, I didn't put it in the show notes, but there is, I think we might have to also talk about people trying to just pre-order, the game on.
Don't worry about it.
On the first day, the website, of course, crashed pretty much immediately. stayed down for a very long time, and then slowly came back up like hours later. It took a long time for that website to come back up. People on PSN were, I've heard that it was mostly the just the Square Enix website. People ordering on other platforms seemed to get through, but they still, their website is just not good.
It's, it's a little wonky. Mm-hmm. Square Enix, by the way, never delivered my package for my Graha statue, my fucking water bottle.
Oh, shit. Oh,
spell?
Yeah.
That's fucked.
That's
classic.
I'm fucking pissed off about it. That was Shadowbringers, I think.
Yeah.
You need to try and get that, Ronan.
Or no, wait. Endwalker.
Endwalker. I remember we talked about it.
And I wanted to get the fucking special bottle, the water bottle.
Mm. Did you talk to them? Did you like contact?
Don't bother.
I contacted. It's
like a wall.
They're rubbish, aren't they?
Yeah.
I contacted the parcel carrier, which is UPS, which UPS. Mm. and then I think I messaged Square Enix store, and they're like,
they always pass the buck.
Yeah, and they're like, contact the carrier. And the carrier
will
like,
say, contact the manufacturer. The manufacturer will say, contact the developer. The developer will say, contact the carrier.
Yeah. No one's responsible.
I was just out like $80. I was like,
yeah.
I was very upset.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Square Enix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As of yesterday, though, the collector's edition's still in stock if you want to buy it.
It is still in stock, which is surprising.
It wouldn't surprise me if they're just. I think they did the same with Endwalker, where they just take pre-orders for quite a while.
Or maybe we turn people off calling it a dog turd.
We made people more excited.
Endwalker, they didn't take them perpetually because there were issues of people complaining about it being sold out.
They're not too bad right now.
I did, so update for me, I didn't buy it. Mm-hmm. I said to myself, if the website is down when I try to, I'll try once to get it. If it breaks, that's just the God telling me not to do it.
I went in. Don't get that ugly statue, man.
Yeah, I went in. The website crashed, and I'm like, that's all the care I had for this. I don't care anymore. I'll get the digital one. I already have all the collector's editions for the first arc. I don't need to start again.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And then they'll bring out the most amazing collector's edition for 8.0.
Keel. Yeah.
Your collection is complete now.
No.
Yeah.
It is.
That's gonna irk you. You're gonna look at it forever and be like, it's not full.
If I had missed any of the ones within the first arc, then I would have been bothered. But since I feel like that's the story that I belonged to.
Okay.
I have that. You know,
mental gymnastics here, so you can survive.
He's
already distancing himself from Dawn Treading Case. It's shit, so he can just pull straight out.
Yeah,
he's playing the cards very close to his chest.
He knows something we don't, apparently. Yeah.
Okay, but there's more trouble now. Steam. There's some tweets made from the 14 Twitter account. Specifically about Steam, this one. We are seeing reports of Steam purchases not granting the Dawn Trail registration codes to the Steam CD key section as intended. We have reached out to Valve and we will share an update once we have one. So that's a problem. That was a problem that appeared on Steam. I believe that has now been resolved, but
I believe so.
Part of, you know, all of the problems with pre-orders. But then also on the Square Enix store, which again, remember the Square Enix store crashed, just kept crashing. And now pre-order code delivery problems showed up. We're aware that there is a delay in receiving Dawn Trail pre-order bonus codes when ordering via the Square Enix store. Rest assured, codes are being delivered sequentially, but the email may take up to several hours to arrive due to high volume of orders. Interesting. I mean, I can understand that. I guess they have a system. I don't think that was like a breakdown in their system. It's just their system is slow.
Yeah. It's happened before, I'm pretty sure, for Shadowbringers, too. I feel like I remember a similar thing, at least for the pre-order bonus codes going out.
It happened with Endwalker as well. I just think it's like they can't afford to just buy infrastructure just for one event that happens every like 2.5 to 3 years.
Yeah,
it's just annoying, but it does play out for the most part.
Yeah,
you get your earring.
This is like the one time actually I'm not in a rush to get the pre-order earrings because it's like,
no,
I already got everything.
Yeah, level. I have.
Yeah, it'll be useful for when the expansion comes out, mm-hmm. so for the new jobs. But
yeah,
and it's only like if you have the Menfina ones, it's only for the last 10 levels anyway. So
yeah,
it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. Hope you all got what you wanted. And if you haven't pre-ordered yet, there's no rush. You get the pre-order bonus up until like the day before, so you can just hold
get
on.
Them. What if you guys have been playing since Enrama Born and you don't complete your earring collection for the XP earrings?
So true. You've got to get them all.
You need the Crystarium, the Alamegan, the Minf. You need them all.
You need them all.
Don't miss all the earrings. 100%.
Remember that there's a spring sale on if you don't have all the earrings. Oh, no, you can never get them, can you?
No, you can never get the earrings ever again.
Holy shit. This is the one collector's item that means the most.
Yes.
Why Dalamud? Who cares?
It's earrings. It's wide, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Get on it, guys.
Get on it.
Consume.
You can wait until the day before, but don't wait too long, because if you miss your window, you'll never get
those earrings.
Yep. It's gone.
If you're watching this on demand on YouTube, pause the video right now. Get yourself over to
pause
Switch
and pre-order right now. Oh, you can't wait.
Should post your order number in the comments just so we know you did it.
Also, DM me your credit card details just so I can check with you.
Not that.
Just kidding. All right. Moving on from that. Little Ladies Day and hatching time.
Hey.
It's finally time for us to review this.
Yeah.
It's funny because this is probably the longest we've waited to review an event. And you'd think that's because it's such a massive event. We wanted to wait. We didn't want to spoil anything. No, it just happened to fall, you know, just didn't fit into the other show. So here we are. When you're watching this on YouTube, this event is gone. So,
it's gone.
So
I hope he did it.
Yeah, I hope
it
he did it.
Cute.
Yeah.
Well, they managed to do. They've taken an event for two separate events, so, you know, two full-size events,
uh-huh.
and condensed that into the equivalent of half a normal event.
Yes.
How dare you? There was one quest for each of the city-states this event took place in.
That's true.
Yeah, but each quest took about about 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's break down the story. Julie Aliapo has had another dream.
She's had a dream.
Good for her.
Yeah. She dreamt.
It's about a Gubu celebrating Little Ladies Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
How fancy that.
But it was in Uldah, right? She dreamt that it happened in Uldah. And so she had. So her idea was that she wanted to bring. She wanted to, like, bring. Her dream to life. She wanted to bring Little Ladies. She wanted to combine the two celebrations.
She organized the Gubu and its owner or its caretaker before consulting the people in Uldah, organizing Little Ladies Day.
Yeah.
But like the people in Uldah have a sense of trauma about Gubus parading through their city as a result of events from 1.0.
RIP RIP Warburton.
Warburton, yeah. Minfilia's father.
Yes.
Actually,
he just
died
happens
in
to
that.
Be named after a brand of bread, which I like.
Well,
yeah.
And Flamin's partner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The single death from the Great Gubu disaster.
Yeah. I don't know how many died in that, but it's supposed to be like a pretty serious event. In
he's Uldah. The only named character. Yeah. That's really important.
Yeah. People don't really love the idea of bringing a Gubu back into.
The Seneschals come over to have a chat anyway.
Mm-hmm. They hear her out.
Seeing what's up.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, let's go.
See what it can do.
Let's look at it. Let's scope it out.
Yeah.
Let's go all the way to Bent Branch Meadows.
Yeah.
See the oldest man known to, to history.
Yeah. That's where we meet Old Man. I don't remember his name, but he was...
The Last Allegan.
and his pink Gubu.
She's like a princess.
Yeah.
She's peaty and she's peaty. Beautiful. I was hoping the event would explain this. It doesn't. It's supposed to be quite painful for the plants on the top of a Gubu's head to be pulled out. Peaty doesn't have those, but it's never explained why she doesn't have them.
Right.
Because she's a princess. She doesn't need them.
Maybe they just never sprouted.
Because the old man ripped them out.
No, I don't think he did.
That's why she's so docile, Georgi. Why else would she follow?
Well, she's already pink, so she's already a special Gubu, so there might just be something.
Why didn't they explain where she's from? Why is she a pink Gubu?
You're pointing out the flaws of this quest.
This is the lore that I want.
Yeah, we are presented with
Gubus
this.
Gubus are very interesting.
They are.
The Gubus in Kurthus have gone a bit snowy, and that's interesting. And then the Gubus in the Shroud have their little planties on their head, and the Sylph ones, they... Are they the laurel ones in this? They put a laurel on their head.
Yeah.
Because then,
and then there's the carpet one.
Because those Gubus were supposed to have been like bullied by the touched sylphs pulling out the plants, and that's why they give them the laurel on them to make them feel better.
Exactly. I think it says on the mount description, or maybe like the item description for the mount. It says that the old man like just kind of stumbled upon her apparently, and then they're like, "Well, you're." We're hanging out now.
I don't remember.
I do need that lore.
Gubu lore, though. Aren't Gubus native to Kurthus originally? And then when the calamity happened and the weather changed, they migrated.
Yeah, they migrated. Mm. Well, most of them migrated. The ones that stayed behind.
There are also Gubus in Lanosha, in which case, how did they get there?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
They probably migrated decades ago.
Yeah.
They snuck on ships.
Yeah. I don't know.
There was also... Yeah. The Seneschal also says you're an expert in beeskin, or at least you look like one. Mm-hmm. Which I'm like, no. Gubu is a plantkin.
True.
I can deal with that because you can just say that like the Seneschal is mistaken.
He doesn't know.
They're not zoologists.
Right.
It's got teethers and big old arms. It's gonna slap you.
Yeah.
Many teeth.
Mm-hmm. So he has practiced a little routine with PT, using glamours, and he shows it off, and she does like a little, she holds an egg, and then there's like four rabbit eggs that spawn. No, rabbit eggs sounds weird. Eggs with rabbits in them. It's very short, which I noted immediately to be like,
Is the
animation? I'm like, are we going to have a cut scene where she's on stage and that's all she does? I thought, surely not.
you have future side, maybe.
I guess we're just... we walk around Bent Branch to like spread...
To help three people. We do our thing in front of three people.
Petey is nervous, so you need to ride upon her back to give her the confidence to do the animation, little show in front of three people.
Yeah.
You frequently have to do that with women, I found.
That is true.
Right.
That is true.
Give them confidence, ride their back.
And you know what? And you know, ignoring what Rollo said,
please.
Doing this to three separate people in the Bent Branch Meadows was enough to convince the Seneschal that, you know what? Fuck generational trauma. This is enough for older.
Yeah.
We won't even bother to check. We're doing it. Go to Uldar and tell people that it's happening.
Yeah. PTSD isn't real in Eorzea. They don't believe in that shit.
PT?
No. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just like the Garleans. We're like, hey, man, we're going to turn on the Death Tower real quick.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Yep.
Why? The thing... Final Fantasy XIV is so real. Like, guys, just get over it. Yeah.
Maybe they have really good therapy. You don't know, Mela.
I don't think they do. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say no.
Let's just, let's have a... But
you don't
the
know.
One therapy they have, Rollo, that I can think of in law is go and sit in a hot spring.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's
the kind of bronzer people. It looks nice.
Have you ever tried it? Exactly.
That's true.
Okay.
Obviously, also on the first, if they have you're going to turn into a sin eater, they date you to a little inn and wait for you to die.
That's true.
Lovely place.
Okay, so we bring PD to Uldar.
Yeah, and then we tell
and then we essentially do the same
more
routine.
People.
Yeah, but in Uldar.
And they go, oh, I don't like the sound of a guru in the city, but you know what? I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
One of them explicitly mentions her PTSD, but she's you know what? Why
I'll
would
get
you
over
lie
it.
To me?
Yeah.
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 I just got my Zoloft prescription. I got my talking to my therapist. I'm good. You know, bring him on in.
And then PT gets nervous because.
But you say, don't worry, PT, I'm right here.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay.
Right. You get three dialogue options. I don't remember. I think he says the same thing every time.
Yeah.
And
then she goes on stage and does that one animation, and everyone loves it.
Yeah, that was the funniest thing. Well, what was funniest to me is that the songbirds were performing on stage, and I was like, are they just going to fade out not acknowledging that the songbirds are on stage and just PD's going to be there? That's what they did. Fade to black, PD's there, does the, like, two-second animation, and then everyone's like, woo-hoo! Hell yeah! Cool guru! that's it, essentially.
And then the old man says, oh, I'm getting
Will
old.
Take her off
PT
me.
PT seems to like you, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so
you want to look
frail.
After this massive beast for me?
Mm. Yes.
And you say... Well, you don't have a choice, so you accept it.
Yeah.
Another one for the stable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. You get PT. That's the reward, the mount.
They are really cute, though. PT's so adorable.
It is adorable. I like PT.
Yeah.
I like it when she smiles.
Mm.
She's so smiley.
Yeah.
So many teeth.
Mm-hmm. Obviously,
there's
a lot of
rewards,
problems.
But it's just...
I just wish there was more. I wish PT.
For
I want to know more about PT, but
that's maybe fair, a follow-up quest or something, or like just people who tell you things or something.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes I worry about seasonal events overstaying their welcome. And this is one that I do agree. I would have liked a little bit more in terms of lore related to PT.
Yeah.
Next year, PT needs to become a songbird.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, I have I hope that maybe this means that there will be more with PD since she's technically with us now, right? So she can...
Only if we've done this
only
event
for people... Yeah.
So maybe never, actually. She might never come back. That might have been a one-off. Yeah. What do you think about the combining of Little
Don't
Lady's
like
Day
it. I really don't like it.
I mean, it's... Whatever. Sure. I mean, at this point with events, I'm like... ecstatic and surprised if I'm mildly interested.
Yeah.
When it comes to the story, you know.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like that with a season event in an MMO, but
they're not bad. I'm glad they exist. I'll say that.
Mm, yeah.
There's just not much to do in them.
Yeah. Some are just so much better than the others sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
which makes it feel weirder.
Yeah,
because like of such varying quality and like effort put into it. I want to say not saying they're lazy. There's more effort put into more events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is often the events leading up directly up to an expansion that we see the most like the most effect from resources being sent elsewhere.
Yeah.
Hey, I understand. You make that expansion. I can deal with it. Combined event, sure, why not?
Yeah. Little Lady's Day, we've talked about before, is struggling to like find its way after the last two story arcs that it's had. It did have that one quest with the dance, you know, the
that was last year.
Yeah,
year there were two quests with LD, 2 years with Elditha. We didn't have
her. Yeah,
but she has good back, like the Thorn Dynasty has interesting lore, but they've explored a lot of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
They
but
need
still,
something else.
Like last year we had the dance, which had also an Orchestrion on a poster, which was an okay quest.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Hatching Tide, which was the Thor Tonbury outfit.
Yeah.
And the Frighten emote.
If you go back to Gridania after completing this quest line, you will see the Tonbury nerd there. In the amphitheater.
Okay.
That's cool.
I don't know. The story was
Riggy's,
cute, but
Riggy's there
like...
too. If you haven't,
I love Riggy.
To see Riggy before the event ends.
Yeah, too late if you're on YouTube, but yeah.
It's a low one for me.
This is this is down there, unfortunately. Yeah, this is
the fact that it's a combined one and yet only did this. Like, you know, I think we're fairly lenient with the season events of this game because, you know, other MMOs do them better.
Yeah.
But ours have nice stories usually, at least, and occasionally like cool minis. But
yeah,
this was just it's a bit.
They should make them worse. Add a battle pass. For like the seasonal event, it's just got like it's the same amount of rewards. You have to do 20 levels though.
Yes.
Time. With like the mount or armor at the very end.
What you pounding fate?
And what do you get in between? Fireworks.
Yeah, but I don't. There's only one possible seasonal event between now and when Dawn Trail launches. There's a possibility that Make It Rain will happen, but they could also have that just afterwards as well, depending on how they play it. Because Make It Rain tends to move around.
Yeah.
They should launch Make It Rain on the day Dawn Trail comes out. That's bold.
I think they don't want to combine seasonal events with launches. Like, that's why the All Saints Wake one... that they'd planned for around when the original Endwalker release got moved to the year after.
Mm. Yeah.
But think about the value. Like, this was two events combined and it was only this. But Make It Rain will have, like, an expansion-sized story attached to it. So that would be, an S rank for sure.
I mean, I think they don't like you doing, like, MSQ and then having... Or, like... For the people that are doing it at launch, for the people doing MSQ, to have the tacky Make It Rain decorations if you're doing quests in the city states.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
True.
So where do you guys want to put this one on the tier list?
Right near the bottom.
Yeah.
This is a D.
It's a C if I'm being very generous, but I'd lean towards D.
Yeah.
PD, S tier. Everything else, D.
She's cool.
I'm de-edging an E, you know, but...
Yeah, it's really not.
No, it's not an E for me.
Just edging, but we're getting there.
It didn't do a thing where, I wanted more, but I would prefer to be left wanting more than to be wishing it was shorter.
Yeah. We did mention, the rewards, it is the mount. It's a good mount. It is a reskin of, mounts that already exist, but... There are three Gubu mounts
now.
One is you can't obtain.
One is unobtainable, cockpit one.
Yeah.
I prefer, I'm fine when you do a reskin that's, using the rigging and the mesh of something, but it's changed significantly. But this is just the Laurel Gubu, but they've changed the flowers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, so it's even less. How dare you?
But we love it. We love it.
Okay, well, there you go. Little Lady Staying Hatching Tide. Stop combining them, please.
Normally
they do this before expansions. They've only done it twice.
Last time was All Saints Wake.
Twice? I feel like it's been three times.
Easter.
It's always Easter with something, isn't it?
Yeah, Easter.
No, it's always Little Ladies Day.
Was it Little Ladies Day and All Saints Wake?
No, it's Little Ladies Day in Valentione's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Valentione's, that's what it was.
You are right. There have been three, though, because I'd forgotten about... They've done Make It Rain with All Saints Wake.
Oh, that's the two.
God, they don't know what they're doing. Calm yourselves.
Calm yourselves. Okay, well, that's it for recent events. We can slip in one Mogmail, at least. So let's go. This is from Scala Man from Hair.
What?
This is only funny for me because Skullaman means bald man, and he's from the server with bald hair.
Bald cow?
But this is gonna get This is gonna get very confusing, Rollo.
Oh, okay.
Hello, speakers. Is it true that in 1.0 you could not put the apostrophe in your names? Because 1.0 made the nomenclature for all the clans, including Seekers of the Sun, in which the apostrophe is sort of important. On one hand, that feels very ridiculous to make lore for a playable race's naming culture, presumably so players can use it, and then make it so that players cannot use it. On the other hand, 1.0. But why? Also, if anyone is still keeping track, I am not bald.
4.5.
What do you mean?
You have not cheated on your wife, so we're still at zero.
We are not. 2. We have to stop all these absurd counters.
Thank you.
Non-bald man. Well, that is true. You could not use special characters in your name, including apostrophe. So in 1.0.
That's good,
not allowed.
You don't want, like, silly name, like, Cloud apostrophe Squall, Sephiroth apostrophe Tifa. Like, you don't want stupid names like that.
Right.
You want good names.
Well, it's
like,
interesting because there are characters with, obviously, there are names that are in the game that were, that was impossible to, you couldn't be, like, Yshtola, obviously, and a fucking MSQ character has it in her name. But
yeah, but she's special.
Yeah, no one could be special in 1.0. You couldn't have that apostrophe. To be fair, there are special character restrictions in A Realm Reborn 2, but apostrophes are obviously...
Yeah, I'm probably not going to play again until they add the at symbol back.
I want an at.
I think it's just oversight. You know, big project that was not going well.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it's oversight. It's more so just like, push the game out. Yeah, you can't put apostrophes in names. That's fine. Doesn't matter that much.
No.
Sorry, our entire database would fall apart if there's an apostrophe in there.
Yeah,
it's possible that you could do like an SQL injection if you allowed the apostrophe.
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
Be very careful.
They probably just went, well, patch it later, you know, we'll sort it out down the line. This game needs to go now. And then it did, and then it died. That's it. It's just a 1.0 thing. What can you say? A lot of decisions made in 1.0 made no sense. And that's why we are here now, because they remade it. Thank God.
A lot of decisions made in 1.0 can be explained by no money or no time.
Yep.
Or no skill.
They had skill.
At making games.
They just didn't.
Or MMOs.
They made a good game.
They made 11 Mailer.
They made 11.
And then they made 11 again 10 years later.
That was the issue, making 11 again.
They made 11 That's again true. And then forgot what year they were
making.
They were
the first
in.
Issue was making 11.
That's true.
That's where you fucked up.
That's rage bait.
Why? How did you not? How could you release a PC MMO in, when was it, 2001?
Yeah, 2.
Without mouse-based camera, like right-click camera, like just the movement system. I can't get over it still. It's unbelievable that you had to play on your
PS2, duh.
Yeah,
on your PS2 it's fine.
It was a cross.
Can't play it on your PS2 platform. Anymore, can you?
No, you cannot.
I wish you could still play on the PS2. Yeah,
well, remember, it did.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Playing on my
it shut down quite recently, though, like 2018, 20 something.
Oh my God.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, there was one person still on it.
Sony supported the PS2 for a very long time after its release.
Yeah.
Best console they ever made.
Time has moved a lot. 2016, but still, 2016 is pretty long.
Pretty
recent for that. Well,
8 years ago, recent.
It's kind of recent for a PS2, like
almost a decade. Yeah, that's pretty recent.
It's recent, dude.
It is recent for like the PS2 to still have an online game running for it.
The game is like, the PS2 isn't that old, right? It just came out.
Yeah.
When did the PS2
like
come out?
Thing
I don't want to know.
Zelda games 20 years ago. Let's watch Zelda Link
2000.
Yeah.
I love the PS2 disc with the blue bottom.
Okay, we got mail of waxing nostalgic. Okay, moving on from Mogmail, it's time for a Yoshi P interview with Games Radar.
He looks like such a divorced dad in this picture.
He does.
Specifically, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. It looks good on him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was made for him.
Yeah.
I hope it fits him well.
Well, I was talking more about the role of divorced dad.
Yeah, yeah, that's good for him.
He's going
to some Creed after this or something.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. He's going to his man cave.
Fortnite, son.
Yeah. As Final Fantasy XIV heads to Dawn Trail, Yoshi P promises the MMO won't forget the unanswered mysteries of the past 10 years. As we near the end of a 10-year saga in Final Fantasy XIV's Endwalker expansion, the story takes a pause. A fan-favorite character bids farewell and reassures us that there's plenty we've yet to discover. The ruins beneath the waters of the Bounty, the treasure islands beyond the frozen waters of Blindfrost in Othard's north, the fabled golden cities of the New World, and so much more. Final Fantasy XIV's first grand saga is coming to an end, but the rest of your story is still to be written. While Square Enix intends for Emmett Selk's words to comfort fans and its own developers alike who are wondering what's next for the MMO, they also chart the course from where we've gone over the past year to what's next. Endwalker's post-expansion story started with a trip to the ruins below the Bounty, whereas our next expansion, Dawn Trail, takes us to the fabled Golden Cities of the New World. Given that Final Fantasy...
no evidence of that.
No. Given that Final Fantasy XIV's latest story patch finishes with a callback to those very words as we prepare for Tyrael, I asked director and producer Naoki Yoshi P. Yoshida if the monologue was one big teaser of things to come. "I'd say you can expect something," Yoshida says with a laugh. That's a Yoshi P answer if I've ever seen one.
You can expect something.
Yeah, you can expect something.
There will be a game attached to the price tag.
Yeah.
Product? It will be there.
Emmett Selk left those words to say, you all still have much more to get done. Move forward. Meanwhile, understanding the compassion the ancients received as kindness. So it's a message to say that there are still a lot of different adventures to come for the Warrior of Light and their comrades to be excited about. And it is also how we feel towards all our players as the development team. Please look forward to it. Okay.
Long sentence.
Yeah.
Talks like that. Don't judge him.
Naoki. Okay, so here we go. Naoki. Oh, we don't need to go through who he is.
You don't need to explain who Naoki Yoshida is.
No. Playing Final Fantasy XIV over the past decade as a Warrior of Light has meant taking up numerous roles on plenty of adventures, be it halting the march of imperialism, ending a thousand-year war against dragons, or averting a world-threatening, despair-induced apocalypse. The next role is that of a holiday-goer, headed to Tyrael for some deserved reprieve and to sort a succession dispute as one contender's chosen champion. While we're no strangers to traveling to foreign lands and aiding in local matters, Dawn Trail ups the tension by dividing our long-standing allies on either side of that conflict. It's the sort of bad holiday that could make for a good expansion. Final Fantasy XIV's first great saga saw a collection of adventurers, individual in nature, somehow conclude with an expansion that stitched it all together. And it looks like our trip to Tyrael will start another saga guided by the same sense of wanderlust. This is something that I keep in mind with every expansion, but the important points were adventure, surprise, and expectations for the future, Yoshi P says, when asked about the importance of showing our Warrior of Light outside the decade-spanning saga. Good lord. 10 years have passed since the start of Our Realm Reborn, and the team has worked together to continue the development and operations of the game to try and provide an adventure of surprise for all the players. Again, I love Yoshi P talking, and it's kind of, you know.
I mean, he can only say so.
He cannot. He can't say anything. You know, he can't really spoil anything.
Mm-hmm. But he's got to do an interview.
Yeah, yeah. The first culmination of this process was Endwalker, but this concept has not changed. We hope that we can continue to create another big saga, not only with this expansion, but also beyond it, to give players an even greater sense of achievement, surprise, and excitement.
You'll be very hard-pressed.
What?
It just feels so difficult to... he's trying to bring us back to that adventurer feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he wanted to do that at the end of Endwalker, where we went into the newfound adventure, whatever, patch.
Yeah.
It's going to be so difficult to do that. we've you know, we're the hero of the entire universe.
Mm-hmm.
I can only wish him luck, but
yeah,
he does say another big saga here, which is interesting because previously they've talked about how they were considering whether or not this would be a big saga.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That, yeah.
Or like smaller sagas, or like individual. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So it looks like they want to make another big one. So interesting.
I suppose in a way, Heavensward was quite disparate from the overall.
It was at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
So, it could be similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Another depowered moment. That's what we need. Mm. Just like Metroid, they take Samus' powers away every start of the game, where she, I don't know, fucking lands into a rock and forgets everything.
Yeah,
all her abilities. Same thing. We need to hit a rock really hard.
I think they could kill us. Like, they could kill the Warrior of Light and, like, sever our soul or something, and then we end up as powerless. Like, you know, some way of resetting our power would be nice.
Midgard's armor did that once.
Yeah, but you can't use them again. You already did it once.
Yeah,
you gotta make something new.
Yeah, need to do something
else. That's why I'm proposing really big rock.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Rock is fair. While you won't find any Dawn Trail story spoilers here, playing the expansion or one of the patches beyond may offer answers to one of the MMO's unsolved mysteries. Final Fantasy XIV is no stranger to introducing people, locations, or MacGuffins and leaving them to linger. Post or Realm Reborn content introduces you to refugees from Doma, who don't come into focus until after you clear the Heavensward expansion and start Stormblood years later. The Crystal Tower, that hosts a once optional raid post A Realm Reborn, becomes pivotal three expansions later after Shadowbringers brings it back into focus. Perhaps one of the longest mysteries we had to wait for was a key to A Realm Reborn called the Heart of Sabeek, went largely untouched until an Endwalker raid series 10 years later brought it back into the light. Plenty of mysteries have been solved and loose ends tied up, but not all. With that in mind, I ask Yoshida if the team heads into Dawn Trail and beyond with a treasure trove of plot threads to draw on, or a clean slate. Just because the first Hydaelyn Zodiark saga has been completed, it does not mean that the world has changed. The adventures of the players will continue wherever they may go, he says. As such, the mysteries we've left behind and the setting will continue to be refurbished to keep everyone excited. Some will be resolved immediately, some will be long overdue, and there is a big possibility that further mysteries will be presented in Dawn Trail. So we won't ever be starting from a blank slate, but on the contrary, we will continue to develop various stories and contents that everyone can always play with feelings refreshed. Thanks, UGP.
What loose threads do you think are going to be relevant to this expansion? Because I don't really feel like we've talked about that very much.
No.
Well, it's all in the new world now, so it'd be kind of... It's not
Ash is one that Lucille likes bringing up.
Yeah, Lady Ash.
Lady
Yeah. He likes bringing that up, and that's a loose thread.
That is a loose thread.
She's not a loose thread. She's there. We know.
Where is she? We haven't seen her.
Never seen her or met her.
Yeah.
She has a claim to the throne of Dalmasca.
Is a loose thread.
What's she doing in the new world?
Well, why are we in the new world? You know, like
that's what I feel like, Rollo.
Oh, God, I hope this is a black and white moment. I hope this is
That
would be very funny.
I'd love to be for you to be correct if it plays out well, because that would be interesting. It's just I don't see it at all yet.
And you keep saying it's like it's a mystery. No, she's right there.
Where, Rollo? Take me to her. Take me to Lady Ash. Show me her.
Bearing in mind, Rollo, that this was all part of the little resistance beef with Fran, which was part of the raid series.
Yeah.
All we've been told is... That kind of went ahead when Garlemald started collapsing.
Yeah,
haven't we gone to go? Why, you know,
what is the state of Dalmasca right now?
We need to go to Dalmasca.
I don't know. They fired the guy who wrote it, so
right.
I didn't fire him. He's drunk.
I know.
He's just drunk somewhere. Anyways, yeah, that is Dalmasca is a huge thread that has not been touched.
One.
You have to remember, even though we're going to the new world, they have a tendency to always have something else happen in other areas during an expansion. It's not impossible that Dalmasca is a second story thread in here.
I think they'll come back to it eventually one day. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's
Think there's going to be any plot threads on Eorzea during Dawn Trail.
No, I'm not saying that. I just don't think that Lady I Ash will be a pivotal thing here.
Also,
Ash ain't in Eorzea.
No, I meant like the three great continents, known world that we know.
I think they'll be in the post Dawn Trail patch is when we.
That's when the Lady Ash story starts.
I think the biggest injustice of Evelise is that our world canonically has bangers and Sikhs in it, and they're never in any. They're nowhere.
Yeah, except that's in the race
series. They're very sad.
I love Evelise. Them.
They are great.
Yeah. They are very cool, and they're all got unique models, which is probably why they don't get used very often, because they don't have a generic one.
Unfortunately.
I do. A part of me like wonders if we'll go back to Endwalker Shadowbringers, and we'll have like meanwhile in Garlemald for no reason.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I mean Garlemald is technically still a loose. You know, we're not done.
Garlemald is. Mm. I think even the first has loose ends. Is the Eden project working? Is the land healing?
The land will never like fully. I mean, what is engulfed by
the
light?
How's Shinus doing with his? How are the citizens of Yule doing? A lot of little things in the first.
I think the easiest ones that they'll probably come back to at some point is just the sundered Ascians that are still wandering about. You know?
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah.
The few stragglers. I mean, they gotta be. I don't know.
Can we get a little bit on Gaius's masks he's collected and how he was as the Shadow Hunter? Yeah. Like, where did
Who
that
did he
go?
Kill?
I mean, they've also talked. I think Yoshi P or some other members of the development team have also already said that, like, just because he has their masks doesn't mean he actually defeated them properly.
That's true.
True. Yeah.
To go just, into another body.
Yeah.
Strip their mask off.
Yeah.
There's so much about like the Gaius stuff that never did anything.
Sure. To be fair, when I was for the meanwhile in blank, I actually think it will be probably at least for the first half of the expansion, it will probably be like meanwhile in Charlie and it will go back to Grahar and Ystola.
As they make their way over.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? They're gonna come back to Sad Sasquatch and the Diadem. His story will continue.
Rudy?
What's his name, Rudy?
The troll.
The Sasquatch in the Diadem, who's like,
Diadem. Oh God,
Diadem.
Yeah, where he's like, all your friends used to be here or something. He's like, ooh.
Oh yeah, shit. Right.
Oh wow. God, yeah. What was he called?
Yeah.
Was he a? Oh yeah.
He wasn't a NPC. He just had a text.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. God, Jesus.
We have to go to the Diadem now, guys.
No. Yeah.
His story will continue. I promise.
I would love it if he's a custom delivery NPC one day.
Yes.
Sad Sasquatch.
Bring back
Sasquatch. The gorilla.
but you find his family at the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need
their corpses.
No. That's very Amalja beast type.
Yeah.
From a realm reborn.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, Amalgia was rough.
That was rough. Yeah. Okay.
We need to tie up Thub and the dinosaur story as well.
Well, that it does not call that
no
anymore.
Lore.
Exactly. He needs lore.
Yeah.
I love Thub.
Okay. MMO money, MMO problems.
More money.
You tried.
The in-game tale of Final Fantasy XIV is secondary to the story of the MMO's development. The original Final Fantasy XIV. Launched to failure, leading to the introduction of Naoki Yoshida himself alongside an in-game apocalyptic event to signify we're starting over with a clean slate. A realm reborn, if you will. Giving your warrior flight a role in the story has been an important feature of Final Fantasy XIV's story and will continue to be, as will celebrating the wider Final Fantasy series at large. Like previous expansions, Dawn Trail contains nods to the wider series. A subtler throwback is Final Fantasy X's Pelu Pelu race, which will be a common sight in Tyrael. A larger scale one will be a full-blown raid collaboration with Final Fantasy XI. Yoshida tells me the idea of reimagining Final Fantasy XIV as a theme park for the wider series in part has been important since the MMO was reborn, given the contrasting feeling towards the maligned MMO and the beloved series at the time. It seemed wise. While Final Fantasy XIV has gone to stand on its own two feet as one of Square Enix's best and brightest since, the team doesn't plan to change its approach to incorporating the old while exploring the new. Of course, as Final Fantasy XIV is the 14th installment in the Final Fantasy series, we believe that the content and structure of the main story needs to be unique, he says. However, in accordance with the overall concept, we are aiming to make the overall game more exciting by paying homage to and drawing out the essence of various Final Fantasy titles. Like the Japanese saying, learn from the old and know the new. We would like to continue to elevate the ideas of our predecessors into new Final Fantasy titles.
It's a long Japanese saying.
Learn from the old and know the new.
Yeah.
We would like to continue to elevate the ideas of our predecessors into new Final Fantasy titles.
You're very specific about Final Fantasy as well. I don't know if that.
Always when was Japanese that invented? People saying that.
Yeah. Another key to keeping Final Fantasy... Yeah, go on.
Do you think the 11 crossover will connect us to the world of 11 in the same way that like the crossovers did, or do you think it will be more unique in this? It will be more similar to the 12 crossover that is the Evilly storyline.
I don't know.
There's three timelines for this. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay.
Okay.
Best timeline. It's like Evilise, okay? It's integrated in the world. They're like, 11 is somehow associated, and it fits into the lore as best they can, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, timeline, you just go to 11.
Mm-hmm.
You just go.
Shard travel or something like
that. Yeah.
Bad timeline. It is teleported here, and a huge, like, fucking landmark, like, near.
Yeah.
And it's just there.
That is the worst timeline.
Yeah.
I think it's likely to be the middle if it because the fact that 11 stuff already exists in our world, because we've had two crossovers that show 11 people coming to our world from somewhere else, I feel like it can't be in our shard as it currently is. I feel like
it has to be something
coming from somewhere.
The fact that the races are the same just makes me want the 11 is old 14 theory to be real, because it's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe they're time traveling when Iroha comes and
Alternate dimension, but not a shard. It's an alternate dimension.
See, that would anger me more, to be honest.
We've already got
so many. You'd want me to think about, like, not only alternate worlds, but alternate dimensions? Shut up.
A shard is not an alternate dimension, remember.
Because our current shard not only has so many other shards that exist, that still exist, 6 or 7, however many there are, that haven't been reintegrated into ours, but we also have a future timeline that the Graha originally came from. It's irritating.
Yeah.
Well, no, we already have it technically because of Omega's interdimensional travel, because it's the same Omega from other games, as they say.
Yes, it
so,
is.
So, like, it's not anything new.
Yeah, but I feel like that is one of the... I think we talked about this at the time with the Omega storyline. That way of integrating previous Final Fantasies into the world is unideal and not enjoyable.
Yeah, that's true.
What about, though, Rollo, right? The Eden Project's been working so well that they've uncovered Vanadil in the Blood of Light, and that's where we go. So 11 is on the first.
You're saying it's on the first?
Yeah, 11's on the first.
It got glassed, I guess, or did it turn to sand?
It turned to sand, but now it's been uncovered.
You know what? I want Hollow Heidelin theory to be real. There's like the inside of the planet is just 11.
It's just another... There's like a landmass. It's like an egg, and there's a landmass on both sides of the in and out.
I mean, you're joking, but remember, we are thinking that 9 is somewhat involved in the story here.
Oh, no.
And if you remember, there is an inside of that planet. And
Terror and Ark.
Yeah. Mm. What if that's Vanadil?
That'd be a cool way to integrate two storylines.
Yeah.
I feel like no one will be happy with how Vanadil... Some large group of players will be upset no matter what.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Because it's an insane thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, these two MMOs that are like... One's a sequel to, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually connected now, but like...
through store. Like it,
I mean,
good luck.
I believe the like dev like working title for 1.0 was Final Fantasy 11-2. So I mean.
What was the reason for Iroha coming here? Like, how was she get? Like, she's from an.
It's actively tied into the plot of 11.
It is, yeah, yeah. She travels.
No, but I'm saying, like, so she's going to a different dimension already.
Mm. Well, it was a little unclear how she got here, I think.
Yeah, I think that's on purpose, and I think that's why.
It's intentional, probably. Yeah. So they didn't have to come.
They didn't have to explain where how exactly, or where she came from. So
I hope whatever they do, the man who watches the Mithra couch creation video every year is happy.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to get any Mithra. Oh, wait. We will, won't we?
Might.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, we might. Easy to make. Just make it.
Just make it. Just make give them just more hair.
Mikote, but face. Not as nice looking.
Yeah.
Taru-Taru, that's what they call, aren't they?
Taru-Taru, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're physically quite different because we have had Shantotto in the game, mm-hmm. and she is not just a reskin of a Lulafilm.
They have longer. I think they have longer ears.
Galka are different too because they have tails.
They have tails. Guys, Galka, yeah.
I got an update on Black Aroni, famous gooner for the
Mithra. Oh, is that his name?
Oh shit! Update.
Black Aroni. Oh, yeah, okay. 7 months ago. I'm pretty tired. Oh! Think I'll go home now.
No. It's over. No more gooning to the Mithra. Every New Year's.
This might bring him back.
This was a tradition to go every New Year and see if he had posted a new comment. I stopped a few years ago, but that's sad.
It was on and off for a while. It was. I'm glad he did last year. So maybe this year?
Okay, I might have to explain. For those that don't
such
know.
Such a niche, dumb internet.
You definitely will have to explain.
There's a video on YouTube of the character creator from Final Fantasy XI. And in Final Fantasy XI, when you were selecting the race, it would just show them, like, frolicking, like, just doing
so
weird animations.
It's like a weird gravure video.
Yeah.
It's core porn.
To be honest, yeah, go on.
The reveal trailer for Vieira had a similar aesthetic.
It did. And then eventually people noticed that there's one person that keeps commenting every year around New Year's, if I remember correctly. So and they would always be like, oh, this is so beautiful. I love, like, oh, I just love coming back to this. Like, clearly.
No, he what said.
Well,
he
I don't want to say the thing that he's
I'm
doing.
Jerking it okay. Every year he was saying.
He okay. did. He Right, he did say that. It's a little more, obvious. But yeah, that would happen every year. And it became a tradition for a lot of people to check up on the latest. Also, another sad news for 11 is that I would go out on a limb here and say one of the longest running live streams on YouTube, period.
Oh, Vanity
Alive has ended.
No,
is it not doing anymore?
It is gone.
I liked that.
Yeah, from Vanadil.
I always wish 14 had that, just like an idle camera somewhere. Mm. I always thought it was a cool idea.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, it was.
You can do that though.
It was.
Anyone can do that if you have the patience.
But you need like a computer somewhere that you can just leave on. Just
you need a separate account. Yeah, that you pay for.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how they did it because in Live from Vanadil, obviously that was dev run, so you know it would.
They can put that.
It would switch from different like locations and stuff, but it was so like no one was watching. Like at tops five people. You know, but it was like a little nostalgic to have it on, and it would just play like the field theme in whatever zone they were in, and
it was
calm and comforting. But now it's gone. It's been going for like 10 years. I don't know how long that fucking stream has been
since
going.
Like YouTube started streaming, I think.
Yeah,
like,
essentially. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, that Mithra video, 16 years old.
Oh my god.
Put on a mess.
I feel like I'm crumbling in the dust saying that.
Aye, 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 aye. Yeah, that's, yeah. And he's been doing it pretty much since the start of that video. So that's been 16 years of gooning to the same video.
He's probably the longest
here's to
ever.
A true hero. Respect the troops.
Okay, another key to keeping... Anyways, back to the interview. Another key to keeping Final Fantasy XIV's story fresh is the various writers who have come and gone over the years. The story of the award-winning Heavensward expansion was shaped in part by main scenario writer, Katsutoyo Maehiro. Who eventually became busy with Final Fantasy 16 as a creative director. Over that time, we've seen other creative talents like Natsuko Ishikawa come through, who took up lead story designer roles on Shadowbringers and Endwalker. And that's only scratching the surface. The influx of new ideas has kept Final Fantasy XIV's story fresh, though how does the team keep the overall story coherent over a long length of time as writers come and go, especially as we turn to Dawn Trail and the next big saga? There are many talented scenario writers working on Final Fantasy XIV, Yoshida beams. They all have their own unique styles, but always at the heart of our writing are some basic rules of world building. These aren't meant to bind the writers, but they exist to give a sense of unity to the world and the adventure, and the framework of the main storyline is shaped by the writers and myself meeting together and exchanging ideas over several days. Yeah, we know, you go to your... the hotel room and you lock everyone in and he's like, there better be a fucking story on my desk by tomorrow.
It must be horrible if you're a non-smoker.
Yeah,
the more he mentions that, the more like hell it sounds.
Yeah.
Like hotel trapping.
Yeah.
Was it like one room as well? A week.
One room and one bed.
Yeah. Yeah. One room,
the
one bed.
Is, Rotto, though, they pay for one adult to stay there, but more than one adult stays in the room. That's illegal.
And they never open the windows. No one can hear them. And there's only one ashtray. That's a
hot box. And it's a love hotel. It's a BDSM.
It's a love hotel, of course. Yeah.
I just remembered, by the way, for Tenzin, I'm still thinking about the 11th thing. For Tenzin stuff, that's just Tenzin, right?
Yes.
That's not like our Tenzin. That is just Tenzin.
It is implied to be, yes. Yeah.
11's Tenzin was all in the past, and that kind of fits in with the Four Lords story.
This is getting even. The more I'm like thinking about it, there's already connections that don't make sense together. Because if Iroha says she came from another world,
She time traveled.
Well, she does. Yeah, she look at what's in chat. These are quotes from Iroha. She just does specifically say that she traveled back in time. To escape to the past before the darkness had consumed all.
She traveled back to the time. Yeah. So is that the future? Is Vanadil the future
what
now?
If we're the past?
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, that's another theory.
But then the Mithra wouldn't look like that.
Well, what if they do? Also, what if some sort of calamity happens?
The lore on the Vanadil race minions from Eureka will make less sense.
Yeah, because I think she's talking specifically about something else, but she does travel in time. That is like a big era.
I think
thing.
She travels to our timeline, and I'm happy with them being connected.
Mm. There's a lot of time travel in general in 11, so you know. There's...
Man, the future would kind of suck. That's 14's future is 11.
Yeah.
What's everything look like in the future?
I'm not going to support that.
I don't think Vanadil is the future. I think Vanadil is the past. Yes.
I want to say something quickly about the scenario writers that I don't know where I read this. I read this recently, but I don't have the source for it. So if someone else has it, please post it in the comments or post it in the chat if you... You remember exactly where I heard this from. One of the things I heard is that Natsuko Ishikawa, a common complaint that we've had since, like, I guess since the end of Stormblood, was that, like, not many people die in the plot anymore. Mm. Apparently, Natsuko Ishikawa is like, she doesn't like killing characters that other people made, because something that My Hero did was that Horshafont was a character that she had created, and then My Hero killed him when she still had plans for Horshafont. So it's possible that she doesn't want to step on other people's toes to kill characters that, like, she doesn't... And Mumbreda was another one.
Yeah.
That she might have...
Oh, my God. Mihiro had something out for her.
I know the quote, Gyorgy, you're talking about. I forgot where it's from. It is from an interview. She said it in, like, a joking way in the interview. But I do think... It is very real, and that's why I kind of don't like My Hero's writing sometimes. Because
I'm sure he's not like vindictive against Ishikawa or something like that, but it does kind of suck that he does that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that makes for good writing.
No.
And I think that's where those characters fall, because they were clearly not done.
Monbrida is definitely the worst one, because she had like two patches and then gone. Mm. Like, she needed
more
time.
She was very much redeemed in Orianche's.
It's true. It led to a beautiful scene later down the line, but...
Which she probably wrote.
But remember, the death... yeah, that's true. The death had not that big of an impact on us at the time, because we barely got to know her before she died.
Yeah.
And we didn't really care about Orianja too much.
Right. Orianja was kind of weird. But I will say, that was the when he was like processing that was the first time I started to be like, okay, there's the character.
Yeah, it was one of his first big moments when he has that sort of soliloquy after finding out that she's passed.
Yeah.
The Waking Sands.
Yeah.
Rising Stones. Floating Stones. Yeah. Rising Stones.
In all honesty, I think if Harshafont at least lived longer, I probably would have liked him a lot more.
I don't think he's the big character people have built him up to be. I think he gets close to us quite quickly, which is a bit odd. But I do think his death was good, and I think it led into a lot of very like rich interactions with Edmund.
Yes.
And I don't think if Horsfront was alive, we wouldn't have had the Edmund like love that we have, I don't think.
That's true. Yeah.
I think he's trying to fill a void with us.
Mm,
as well as being just a nice man. And I think he's really well done.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, once a rough plot has been developed, including the general setting of the adventure, the flow of battles with enemies, and the themes we want to convey, the writers in charge of the story will flesh out the details. The story is then brushed up by the lead writers, who check and give advice, where I also give feedback. This style of all the main writers getting excited and helping to make the story the best it can be is perhaps the secret to Final Fantasy XIV's lengthy story being finished without wavering. When it comes to how Square Enix might spice up Final Fantasy XIV's story structure over the next decade, Yoshida gives little away. We've grown accustomed to seeing an expansion hurl us into conflict before we deal with the aftermath in post-expansion patches until it's time to ramp up for the next adventure. While Yoshida keeps his cards close to his chest, he admits the team is always looking for ways to go one better in the next expansion run. We take a look each time and never stop thinking about what we did well, what we didn't do so well, and what we can do to pursue something new. He says, so we will continue to try and find different ways to make it fun for you all again. Well, there we go.
Mm-hmm. Disappointed that you read out the Biggie like chapter header thing, but not the Cliff Richard one. We're all going on a summer holiday.
Well, I
show some respect to Cliff. Please.
Oh, sorry, I didn't
no
see
sense.
That. Yeah. Well, there you go. That was from Games Radar.
Thank you, Games Radar.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
you. It was a pretty good interview, actually, but he didn't say enough. But it wasn't that bad.
No. It's.
I do like the part where he talks about not being kind of pigeonholed by like the constraints of the story, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Because I'm very much of the mind that if you have a story to tell and you want these beats to happen, make it happen. I don't think you have this doesn't fit with the lore or whatever. Like,
he's often
make it work.
He's often said that, like, if he has an idea and he wants it to happen, he says he wants it, and then he tells the writers, make this happen and find a way for it to occur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's up to them to
how
just
it should be.
Write it in.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, not too far, obviously. Like, he can't just say, well, I want this one to be, you know, World War II guns and, you know, it's just World War II now.
Yeah,
I've told you already, Mela, that is a future expansion of Final Fantasy XIV.
That's right.
Yeah, right. That's a real throwback.
That's a post-show reference. So that's the kind of content you're going to get if you become a patron or stick around on Twitch.
Yes, that's right.
A post-show from about more than a year ago, I think.
Yeah.
But I do remember it. It was good times.
Yeah. Okay. That's that for today, folks. That's the show. We'll be back.
Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for hanging. Remember to follow on Twitter @SpeakersXIV, twitch.tv/speakersofidledom, YouTube.com.
No! failed, Lucio.
On the second episode.
Waiting for this.
Twitch.
Buzzer. Correct buzzer sound.
Fuck. God damn it. Okay. YouTube.com/speakersxiv. Twitch.tv/speakersxiv. Exclamation Discord in chat if you want to join our Discord server. If you're watching on demand, links in the description. Remember to send us mogmail, speakersxiv.com/mogmail. Remember to subscribe if you're watching on YouTube and like the video. That's
or
it.
Or don't.
That'll
don't
make the
I don't care.
No, you have to actually.
We do care.
Yeah, that, the algorithm likes it when you comment.
Ring
and
that
like.
Bell too.
Ring that bell.
Ring the bell.
And
comment, like.
Comment,
share
like,
it with your friends.
Yeah, right, right. I think we've said it too much. Now we've fucked up the transcript. The button's not going to light up now.
It's
I don't like it from the first one.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see you in the post show if you're watching live. We'll see you there. Goodbye.
Bye.
What?
You've just listened to an episode of Speakers of Eidolon, produced by Speakers Network. Producer for this episode was Lukiel Bravestone. Final Fantasy and Final Fantasy XIV is a registered trademark of Square Enix Holding Company Limited. If you would like to support the show, consider pledging to our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/speakersxiv or buy some merch at teespring.com/stores/speakersxiv. Link to both of these sites, as well as our Discord server, is provided in the episode description. Thank you for listening to this Speakers Network production.